Let us pray. Creator God, we confess that too much we live by our own wits and wants and not by the leading of your Spirit. Yet your Spirit is within us. Speak to us now. Revive your Spirit in us. And by it, lead us in lives of faithfulness, love, and justice. In the name of Christ. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit within you. You are to bring forth justice to the nations. Do not cry or lift up your voice, or make it heard in the street. Gently, so as not to break a bruised reed, or quench a faint candle. Faithfully bring forth true justice. You will not grow faith or be crushed until you have established justice in the earth. In far lands, wait for your teaching. The word of life. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in this one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the fourth chapter. Jesus returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through the whole countryside. He began to teach in their synagogues, and everybody was praising him. He came to Nazareth, the town where he had grown up. And as was his custom on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, for God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of God's Jubilee." And then he rolled up the scroll, and he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down, which is the position of teaching, and all the eyes in the synagogue were on him. And he began to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The gospel of our beloved Jesus Christ. Jesus changed the world. And if we are followers of Jesus, if we profess to be Christians, that's the business we're in. When Jesus begins his ministry, comes off of these 40 days and nights of prayer, comes into Nazareth starts this ministry, he sort of announces the table of contents of his ministry by this quotation from Isaiah. And it's interesting because it's not a set of doctrines or teachings. It's essentially a to-do list of stuff that Jesus has come to do. And there's two different kinds of things on that list. One of them is the things that we would call acts of mercy, to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to reach out to people who are in need. But there's another kind of thing he's talking about. When he talks about setting the captives free, he's not just talking about merciful acts to particular individuals. He's talking about changing the way things are. When God sets slaves free, God doesn't just help them to escape. God abolishes slavery. Acts of mercy are those acts of reaching out to people who have fallen through the cracks. Acts of justice is changing the ding-dang crack, fixing it so that people don't fall through it. And it's interesting how comfortable we are with acts of mercy and how uncomfortable we are with acts of justice. We're pretty comfortable in general as Americans and as Christians and as members of St. Matthew's. We're comfortable raising money for the food bank year after year after year. We're not as comfortable going to the state house and saying, change the economics of this state so that people don't need food banks. That's a little more challenging for a few reasons. One is that we have to actually stand for something. It's public. How many times have you heard people say, my faith is between me and God? No, it isn't. Not if you love Jesus. His faith was not between him and God. It was between him and everybody. That's how you love God, is to love your neighbor. That's what Jesus said. So part of it requires that we take a stand as individuals and, by the way, as a church. Part of what Jesus is asking us to do is to take a stand so that when people drive by, they don't go, oh, yeah, church, one of those places where they sing Amazing Grace. But people drive by and go, oh, that's a place where they're about this kind of work. And they know that. Of course, the hard part about that is the real reason we don't want to really get too involved in acts of justice. Part of that is because social justice, by definition, means change. God has created a beautiful world and created us as these beautiful, good creatures who are in this world. And God loves it all. And we have such a hard time trusting that. And in our fear and in our distrust, we become self-protective and we cut ourselves off from other people and we become willing for other people to suffer for our sake because we're worried about that. And pretty soon that leads to all the evil in the world. And you know how much evil there is in this world. We are in a world of hurt. And all of that poverty and violence and war and racism and sexism and the degradation of the planet Earth and on and on and on, all that stuff is the status quo. And Jesus has come to change that. And we're a little nervous about that because A, we don't like change. And B, we don't like to be the ones who are agents of change because other people don't like change even more than we don't like change. So as soon as you suggest change, somebody's not going to like it. And we don't want to deal with that. And you know that. You know that out there and in here, change is always controversial. And it change the color of the paint in a room, going to change the carpet, going to change the time that you do something, going to change which room you do it in. Somebody's not going to like it. And you go out there and you change how we put together our economic system, how we decide who gets to go to jail and who doesn't. You know people are going to resist that because it's against what we've established as the norm. And it has all that weight behind it. That's the way we do things, and you're trying to change it. And we all know how hard it is to go up against that kind of energy. This is the norm. This is the way it's normal to talk in America in 2016. This is a publicly stated direct quote from a major person in our country. I think we should carpet bomb them into oblivion. I don't know if sand glows in the dark, but we should find out. Unquote. Wow. Really? That much violence, that much hatred is normal? That was a presidential candidate. That's what's normal in this country. That's what's normal, and we have to speak out against that if we want to follow Jesus. We don't let that go. We don't say, oh, well, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinions. That's what got Jesus crucified, and that's why we don't want to stand up for justice. We'll just write checks to the food bank. Because we're afraid that something bad will happen to us if we stand up for justice. It seems too scary. But here's the cool thing. That news that came to Isaiah, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me to preach good news to the poor, release to the captives, to change the situation. That didn't come as a threat or an obligation. It came as a gift. I don't have to do this. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me to do this. The Spirit does this. And I simply bear the Spirit into the world. All those things that Paul talks about in Corinthians when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, they're ways in which God enables us to help God do this work of justice. Because the irony is that we can't do it alone, but neither can God. Nobody can. And we do have each other. This weekend we remember Martin Luther King Jr., and with him, that whole movement that he represented and all those people that he worked with. And he had a particular gift. But he wasn't the only one. There were all those other people. It wasn't just the names that we remember, just the Rosa Parks and the Edgar. It was thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of people who shared in that struggle together to change the world, each with their own gifts. Some had gifts of public speaking. Some had the courage to go out in picket lines and face violence. Some worked behind the scenes. Some prayed. Some just talked with people one by one. But they all were part of that work to bring God's justice to this world and not let the status quo go on. And some of them had incredible courage to stand up and do what they did. To be opposed, to be arrested, to be threatened, to be killed. And they knew that. But they knew that they were not doing it alone, that it was the Spirit that was bearing them forward. If you look at any of those great social justice movements in this country and around the world through history, the abolition of slavery, the freedom of India, the work against apartheid in South Africa, the civil rights movement here, the anti-war movement, they were all community movements. There's no one person that pulled that off. It's the Spirit that brings us together, that enables us to do that. So the question is what the gifts of the Spirit are that you have, that have been given not just for you, but for changing the world. They might seem like small little gifts, But trust this, that because they come from God, the gifts that you have been given, God can use to bring healing to the world. When you look at the huge problems, you think, oh, what do I do about poverty? I'm just one person. What do I do about racism? What do I do about war and violence? What do I do about the justice system in this country that just throws black people in jail because we can make money off them, because black lives don't matter? What am I supposed to do about that? Ask what the gifts are that you've been given, so that it's not an obligation. You simply bear into this world the gifts you've already been given. It's a gift, not a threat, not a burden. The challenge is to stand up for justice, to speak out, to be a part of God's changing the world with love. The good news is that there's not this impossible huge task. All we have to do is bear the gifts that we've been given. What are the gifts that you've been given? Listen and let God reveal those to you. Because it's true that the Spirit of Yahweh is upon you to bring good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind, release to captives, to set the oppressed free, to declare the time of God's jubilee. The Spirit is in you. What are those gifts? Will you pray with me? God, for your continual justice and mercy, we give you thanks. For the power of your love that you show us in Christ, we give you thanks. For the life of your Spirit in us, we give you thanks. And we pray that you will open our hearts to know our gifts and to bear them into this world. God of grace, we give you thanks and pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your word, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.